Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Missing Frames. This is the podcast where we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge, and for this episode, I'm joined by my absolutely amazing wife, Sarah Eastridge.
Hey.
Hey. What's up?
Funny meeting you here.
And we're going to be watching one of Sarah's favorite movies, a movie I don't think I've ever seen before. And if I have, it's been so long that I might as well not have seen it. But that would be...
It's perfect.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's Disney's 1941 classic... animated classic, as if I need to specify, Dumbo. And we're watching this because Tim Burton's Dumbo is about to come out.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like the words Tim Burton and Dumbo, like saying Tim Burton's Dumbo, are enough to strike fear into the hearts of anybody who holds this movie dear to them. But I am optimistic. A couple episodes back, I was joined by Aaron Prescott and Brad Gullickson of Rest in Pictures Pod, and we watched Ed Wood, which is a very good Tim Burton movie, probably the best Tim Burton movie that I've seen. And I'm kind of in a forgiving mood. I've been pretty outspoken about how little I like Tim Burton or his films. Not him personally. I'm sure he's a wonderful person. But I am hoping for the best. So we're going to watch both the original animated version and the remake.
Yeah.
Which will be super exciting.
The remake visually looks pretty cool. At least from the trailers.
Yeah, the trailers actually, it's hard not to make me fall in love with an adorable elephant. So they've got that going for them at least. But Disney animated movies are funny in that I have never really been a fan of the older ones.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Just missing out.
Well, it's missing frames.
Oh, well, so there you go.
There you go. It's perfect. But I think as a kid growing up, and I feel like I've told this story on this
every
podcast
time we do
before,
a Disney movie.
Every time we do. How many Disney movies? We did Frozen.
I think that was it.
So
right?
Maybe I told the story when we talked about Frozen, but growing up, it felt like Disney movies were not made for me. I wanted superheroes. I wanted like action and fighting. And Disney movies were all like princesses, singing, talking animals. And they were always kind of like saccharine and sappy. Like it was always.
You didn't find any of that endearing?
No. As a kid, it was just too gooey for me, even as a kid. So I had a real hard time getting into them. And as a result, I missed a lot of Disney movies. Or if I saw them, they were either on in the background and I wasn't paying much attention, or I just saw them in bits and pieces. And Dumbo is one of the ones that I think I've only seen bits of. I know it's super short.
Yeah.
It's only a little over an hour. And I know it's Dumbo's got big ears and he flies.
He has a
feather. He's taken from his mom.
Disney.
Yeah, it's a running theme through Disney.
I know.
To be taken from your mother or your mother's taken from you. And I know, that's about it. He's in the circus and he has a clown face. These are also all images from Tim Burton's trailer. So I could just be
so you're channeling that instead of the 41 classic.
That's about... all I know about Dumbo. But what do you remember? Do you remember when you first saw this?
I would say elementary school era. I don't know what age, but that time frame I would say. My mom was big on Disney, so I, unlike you, got the better childhood experience. And
I think as a result, you are a better person.
Yeah,
you.
I am much more well-rounded, you know, very intelligent.
These are all facts. People come to Missing Frames for the facts.
So my mom showed it to me, and I watched it a lot, as I traditionally did. So, but I loved this movie. I really empathize with Dumbo. He was bullied and he just didn't have a lot of friends. And I didn't have a lot of friends and I was bullied on the school bus every day. They called me Four Eyes. They were horrible to me. So aww. I just like, I don't know. I just loved Dumbo and I had this emotional connection to him because I was like, oh, he's like me. And then he found a friend and everything was good. And I don't know. It was just kind of like my little escape. But I don't know. This movie is kind of emotional and I haven't seen it in years. So I hope I'm not like, well, that was crappy. Like as an adult watching
well,
this.
I don't think you know? So. I mean, Disney movies, even I rewatched Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs recently, and that personally, it doesn't hold up to me because it feels very much like it's the first feature animated film, so yeah. feature length. And
it well, that's more of a romance
like
as well.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. It's but a different tone. I think a lot of the style of it, as a result, is it feels a little bit more like they're in love with the fact that oh, it's an animated feature. Let's just yeah. do really colorful, fun stuff,
right?
As opposed to really compelling or engaging story.
Yeah.
Where, and it's also the first couple movies Disney produced were based on books, I think, or they were based on source material. Isn't Dumbo, this is the first one that is an original story?
That I don't know.
I feel like it might be. I don't know 100%, so please don't yell at me, people, if that's not true. No, I'm seeing now it is based on a children's story. So
wrong.
It's not true. Not true. I completely, we could cut all that out. But
it
then,
came right after Fantasia, right?
I think so. It was the fourth one. So it was, Snow White and Pinocchio and Fantasia. Yeah. Okay. So Dumbo was, it says it was intended to be a low budget feature. Because Pinocchio and Fantasia had been
they didn't do
bombs.
Well
yeah so Dumbo was intended to be kind of like, all right, let's make some money back,
but it made money.
It
I'm
did.
Pretty
it,
sure it,
it
did
not,
or it did better
not
than,
a huge amount it, yeah. it had a $950,000 budget for that time, which is pretty huge
yeah.
I'm sure in today's dollars, and made $1.6 million, so it did a decent amount. I really don't know, again, I don't know much about it, and I am excited to go into it not knowing a lot about it, and I am genuinely excited to see kind of how Tim Burton's movie fares.
Yeah.
I've heard interesting things about Tim Burton's movie, that it's both a remake and kind of a sequel in a
okay.
way, which is really exciting to me, because part of my problem with these live action remakes is they're the same movie.
Yeah, it's like beat for beat.
You know, we got Aladdin coming up with Will Smith looking horrifying. We've got, you know, there was Beauty and the Beast with Dan Stevens, who can have my children. And what else was there? There was
Jungle Book.
Like all these movies are the same.
Cinderella is the only one that like went out on a limb, I think.
Yes,
and we loved it. Yeah,
I liked that a lot because it told. It was a remake of the story, but at the same time, they brought a new angle to it. They kind of introduced some new ideas that
mm-hmm.
made it feel fresh.
Yeah.
Unlike these other ones that we've named.
Yeah.
So I like that angle. And I feel like Tim Burton's due for a win. It's been a while since he's been doing kind of like, Dark Shadows. And didn't he do Peregrine's?
I don't think that financially did super well.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if they're doing any more, but there's like three or four books
and I haven't heard about a
sequel.
You know, Dumbo, again, it's another kind of like, it's not an original Tim Burton work, but at the same time, there's been some good buzz about it on social media, which means nothing, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed and I really am hoping for the best, especially because after Ed Wood, like I said, I have a lot of goodwill for him.
Yeah.
As for the original Dumbo, I'm excited to watch it just because I really don't know much about it.
It's really sweet. And I know you don't like that sweet word, but it is, it's very charming. And I think it's more about a friendship, like an unlikely friendship. And I love stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just like believing in yourself and realizing you have the power. And I don't know. I love those kind of themes in movies, especially children's movies. So I really love it. I hope you love it. I hope I still love it. I should rephrase since it's been many, many years since I've seen this.
Do you think I'm
going to like it? I think you might. I mean, I don't know. I think you might.
All
right. Well, we'll see.
We'll find out.
I don't know. What did I say about Frozen? Did I? No, I think I was like, I don't think you'll like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I'm going to say, yeah, I think you'll like it.
Okay, cool.
And I hope you won't prove me wrong.
Well, let's go find out. And then, of course, like I said, we're going to be watching the original Dumbo and we're going to watch Tim Burton's Dumbo. So we will come back to review both of them. Stay tuned.
Now available to own on video cassette.
And we're back. We've watched the original Dumbo, and then we went and saw Tim Burton's Dumbo, as we said we would.
We did it.
We did it. Let's just start with the 1941 Dumbo, the original, which is where we should start. Yeah. So I don't want to say I didn't like it. I didn't dislike it.
Okay.
But a lot of the stuff I said in the beginning where I was like, here are the things I don't really love about early Disney movies were present in this movie. And that being said, I also don't want to knock a movie that's so like adorable and beloved. Like,
it is geared towards children as well.
Yeah. And I think maybe that's part of my problem with early Disney is it's so geared towards children to the
and
point where
you were never a child.
I was never a child. Yeah. I was born a pretentious 30-year-old man from the get-go. So I think that's part of the problem. But I think, you know, some of the smartest children's movies can be enjoyed by adults too.
Yeah.
And that's not to say these movies can't be enjoyed by adults. They clearly are. These movies get, I mean, these are classics. They're considered to be some of the greatest films of all time. But I think the problem is, for me, there isn't much for an adult to latch on to. And the same thing applies to Dumbo. And a lot of the same problems I had rewatching Snow White and the Seven Dwarves just a few years ago, I had with Dumbo. And at the same time, there are lots of things I did really like about it.
Yeah.
But this is the first time you've seen it in a while,
in
right?
A long
so
time.
So how did you feel about watching it again?
I still loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just have this emotional tether to it, I think, from childhood. And I see what you're saying, but like, I don't know. My feelings override it, I think, because I just had this really strong emotional response to it. And I think I even teared up a few times, you know?
There are a couple really beautiful moments in this movie.
And
so it's a movie I think I just have a personal bias against early Disney animation.
Yeah.
It feels very cutesy. Like, it's very like,
and I have like,
you know,
a positive
cute,
bias
here's like
towards
cute
it.
Animal. Yeah, cute animals hanging out here, some songs, some corny songs.
Some dead mothers.
Some dead mothers. Thankfully no dead mothers in this movie. Though,
but
there is,
it's either like deceased or abandoned, right?
Yes,
I mean,
there's always a child trying to get back to its parent and or parents, and that's here in Dumbo. But I think there's almost a wholesomeness to the movies of Disney, which is funny I say that because this movie also has an extended drunken LSD trip sequence.
It's my favorite.
Which is doesn't feel appropriate by any means, yet somehow is in this G-rated film.
Yeah.
But Disney's movies just feel a little too wholesome and clean cut to me. It's like, I don't know, the Brady Bunch or something, where it's like everybody's gonna get along and we're all happy. And I know that's a little bit of a ridiculous claim, because as we've pointed out, there's some pretty dark and tragic things that happen even in the early Disney movies. Mm-hmm. But Dumbo, I think, it was hard for me to engage with because I just felt very much like it's very geared towards children.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to connect to. It doesn't really care about connecting to a wider audience. I think a lot of the praise Disney movies from this era get is more the technical achievements, more so than the storytelling achievements.
Yeah, watching this from, it was 1941, you said, like, I felt very impressed. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's funny because they cut a lot of corners with the animation. They were really trying, after Fantasia was such a dud, to recoup some losses, basically. So one of the instructions for the animators was make it as cheaply as possible. Wow. And I did notice that. I did notice that some of the backgrounds felt a little more static. They weren't as detailed. Snow White is like gorgeous animation and very beautifully, like the rotoscoping. It's very detailed. There's a lot going on in that movie. And Dumbo, by comparison, feels less visually interesting. But the things they get right, they get really right. Like Dumbo is immediately, I mean, it's an adorable little elephant, so immediately you empathize with it, but it's a very emotional.
He's so expressive.
Yeah, very emotive.
For the most part, this film could be a silent film with, you know, sound effects. There's not a ton of dialogue in this, and Dumbo doesn't speak. You have Timothy, who does speak.
Right.
I won't jump ahead. I need to stay with this movie.
Right. We'll get to Tim Burton's. Don't you worry. That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
And I think that they were saying that this is the first animated movie of or the first Disney movie in general to have a protagonist that didn't speak.
Okay.
And I think part of the problem, maybe if I'm going to get real nitpicky and really film snobbish about it, is you do have a character that he wants to get back to his mother, but he's also like doesn't really do anything. He's very much like at he is at the will of whatever anyone else around him does.
Well, he is a baby.
Exactly. Well, that's part of the problem, I think. I think it's just it's the story, but it also makes it hard. Again, I like films all over the spectrum in terms of protagonist types and character types, and some are more visually focused and some are more character driven. But a lot of times I think I love movies where the characters are actively involved in the story. And in Dumbo's case, he's not really actively involved or interesting. You empathize. The stuff that I really connected to, obviously, is the story with him and his mother. Mm-hmm. But then there's so much in this movie that has nothing to do with it. That is very, it really, really leans into the cutesy, like, oh, we can animate people like singing and dancing. Let's do that. Or this cool train, like, let's animate the train going up a hill. I think I can, which I actually thought was really funny. But
I thought I could.
Yeah, that was great. That was cute. There's something I noticed in Snow White as well that I think is evident or apparent in Dumbo is the desire to show off an animation, because there was really no precedent. Like, Disney was really paving the way for feature animation, and they were kind of in a league of their own. I don't know as much about animation, or the history of animation, but Disney was really the one pioneering that field. And so I think a lot of the reason some of these movies feel so aimless is because they were, and it wasn't so much about like, let's tell a story as much as it is like, oh, we can do something really cool with these soap bubbles. Let's like show how well we can animate soap bubbles or how well we can animate a cute elephant. It feels like they came up with visual ideas that would look cool from an animation standpoint. And there are extended sequences in this where it's like, really, I'm trying to think of specific examples, but there are a lot of moments in the movie where it's just like, the opening. So the storks deliver the babies and it's like everyone's singing and all the mm-hmm. animals get their kid. And at the end, it's Mrs. Jumbo. She is looking for her baby. So it's like, oh, there's an emotional thread I can connect to. She didn't get what she wanted and she wants a baby. But for the most part, there are lots of sequences in this where it's just like, here's an extended dance sequence. Here's an extended thing where something's happening that has nothing to do with the plot of the movie. And I get really bored with that stuff. And I think part of the problem is animation has come so far. So once I can watch this and be impressed by the animation, I'm done. I'm like, okay, let's move on. I'm ready to watch a movie. Tell me a story.
Yeah.
Did you get that vibe from it watching? Is it just me? Because people really love these movies. But I feel like
I had such a walk down memory lane. I just enjoyed myself. I guess I didn't get hung up on those details. But like I said, I have a very strong emotional tether to this. Like, it mirrored a lot of my feelings at that time when I was introduced to it in like elementary school. And I watched it over and over and over. And I just loved it. And I watched it again and I just loved it. So I'm very forgiving of this film. Mm. It's definitely not perfect, but I'm very forgiving of it.
Yeah. There are things I really love about it. I think what is the song that the mother sings to him? That was my favorite part of the whole movie. The Baby of Mine.
Yeah.
The song when she sings to him and they have that sequence. I loved that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song. There's some songs in this movie that I was kind of like, this is just like a little too cutesy. But that had like a really beautiful blend of melancholy with this really sweet sequence where he just wants to be with his mother and he can't. Yeah. And she's trying to kind of lull him to sleep and comfort him. It was a really, really beautiful
A lot of moment. The interactions with them are so tender and beautiful and sad. Very sad, you know, because they're separated.
And I was I thought, and maybe this is because I saw it in the trailers for the Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
I thought the mother got taken away, which is not in this movie. The mother never gets taken away.
She's just isolated.
She's just isolated from him and locked away. Yeah. And I think maybe that felt like, you know, that's obviously the central conflict is Dumbo wants to be with his mom and he can't be. And that's why it was so hard for me to connect when it's all like, Dumbo, let's put on a show, when his mouse friend, what's his mouse?
Timothy.
When Timothy is like, yeah, you can fly. Let's do that. It felt so disconnected from the thing I was emotionally attached to,
right,
that it was very hard for me to engage with. It doesn't feel like there's a through line, like the storyline. If you were to break it down and say, okay, let's break this down from a storytelling perspective, it's like, in this scene, Dumbo does this. Now we're going to have an extended trippy sequence where he's hallucinating pink elephants for some reason.
My favorite.
I don't know. I mean, I like it. It felt like I was watching, like, I don't know, like The Wall, like Pink Floyd. Like, you know, it was so... that's a perfect example of something that's like impressive from an animation standpoint and super, like, it's kind of awesome. And
it's a little bold.
It's
in
very
my
bold because they both get drunk and then
they have hangovers the next day. Like, yes. it's like, if you weren't sure, you're sure the next morning.
Right.
Know?
So they have this very extended trippy sequence of like hallucinating peak.
They're like breaking the fourth wall. Like, it's so weird. And I don't know why, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I feel like maybe I will appreciate it more in retrospect, because watching it, that's one of the prime examples of, why am I watching this?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, what does this have to do with anything that that this movie is trying to, what does this have to do with the story this movie is trying to tell? Nothing. It's
enjoy yourself. You're too wound up.
I know.
My goodness. It's a cute little elephant and he got drunk and then like David Lynch happened. You should have loved
that's
this.
That's true. It is very David Lynch. But that was great. And then so after that they wake up in a tree.
Yes.
And again, oh, Dumbo, you can fly. Like, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, it's like he can fly. That's how he got up there. And then there are these crows who... I heard about some controversy with the movie, and I was wondering, oh, I wonder what it is. I'd heard about some stuff with racial stereotypes. And it's totally that moment with the crows.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it wasn't offensive. Like, they were all kind of, like, you know, very, very, like, stereotypical. Like, yeah, what... You know, they were talking with that dialect. But... they were also very well spoken and intelligent. So I've read arguments to the contrary and arguments in favor of them, it kind of being a racial stereotype. And we know Disney, some of these movies are better left
in the vault,
in the Disney vault.
Keep them in the vault forever.
Keep them
never
in that
let
vault
them out.
Forever. But
I haven't heard too much lately about it. I think maybe a while ago people were going back and forth, but I think now, I don't know.
I remember when they first appeared, I was like, oh no, this could be really, really bad. But they're very outspoken and very like, I don't know. They're very energetic, but they weren't. It didn't feel negative to me. It almost felt very like, that's kind of cool that they featured this in this movie, like, especially in this era where I think a lot of times the time they were living in would not be so kind to those stereotypes. But I thought that was interesting, too. But then the plot becomes Dumbo flies and he flies. And I was in the movie.
The very last part of the film.
I knew the movie was short, but it completely caught me off guard.
It's
when,
like, an hour and change.
Yeah. And it caught me off guard when he flies and he flies around the circus and it's like, oh, he's doing it. And then it's immediate, like, Dumbo wins $1 million and now he's got his own train car and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. And he's reunited
with his mother. But it all happens within the span of like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I was so taken aback by how quickly they go through that. And that was tough for me too, because it felt like there was such this sadness and kind of like, you want to see him earn you want to see him fight for his mother. And then he doesn't really do anything and kind of by happenstance, like, learns he can fly and then everything's okay. And the movie's over. That threw me off so much. I don't know. Did it feel abrupt to you, the ending?
Well, no, because I've seen it before. That's just my answer. I mean, no, because that's always... I've seen it since I was a little kid, so that's just the movie to me. So no. But yeah, I mean, could they have introduced that a little earlier? Sure.
It's not even much. It was very strange, because he has the feather. This all happens very quickly in the third act of the film. And then he's flying, loses the feather. Timothy very quickly is like, you don't need the feather at all. It's all inside you. And it's like, this all happened in the span of like a minute. And then he's flying. And then it's the end of the movie.
And that's immediate success and wealth and happiness. Exactly. Just like real life.
And I thought there was more, but it was like, nope, that's it. We're good.
That's it.
So it almost felt like they like didn't have any other idea. They're like, okay, well, he flies. What else can we do? I don't know. Let's just end the movie here. So that's the vibe I got from Dumbo. I liked it. I think I didn't love it. I think I just have a problem with Disney, early Disney animation. Yeah. That's just a problem.
We'll keep going through them. We'll find something that'll work for you.
I remember really enjoying, I don't know. I actually don't know. I watched Robin Hood a lot, but that's like 80s.
Yeah.
Robin Hood I used to watch. Robin Hood's a fox, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I liked Peter Pan a lot, mm-hmm. but Peter Pan flew, so that Superman, that was immediately, from me. I was like, okay, anyone can fly is okay in my book. But I don't know. Pinocchio, I think I like. That's the second one. That feels a little more, I think I just like the ones that are a little bit more forward moving. Like there's a story. I'm a little less enamored with the, like, here's the song and dance routine. Here's the cute animal.
I love that
but
stuff.
I know. It's the thing, like, if you love these movies and you grew up with them, that's why you love them. And I'm just like, not into it.
I understand.
Not my thing.
You're
at
wrong,
all.
But I get it. You know.
So 1941 Dumbo. Does it still hold up for you?
Yeah, okay. It does. For all its faults, I still love it.
Yeah. And again, these may be faults. But I understand I'm very much in the in the minority when it comes to this stuff. So let's move on and talk about a film with so many faults that I can't remember the last time I so desperately wanted to be sleeping in a movie theater. Tim Burton's Dumbo is terrible. It's terrible. I don't even think I should call it Tim Burton's Dumbo. It doesn't even feel like a Tim Burton movie. It is so it has no identity. It has nothing about it that makes me want to say, well, that was good. It is such a bland corporate product, even more so than a lot of these Disney remakes. It's like if Beauty and the Beast, the remake, had even less personality. It's bad. With all due respect to, I love Dan Stevens. He's great. Dan, if you're listening, you have an open welcome invitation to come listen to me bash your movie. But I did not like the new Dumbo at all.
So when I heard that Tim Burton would be doing the remake, I had kind of mixed feelings. I think a lot of people were like, oh, maybe.
He's just not right for the material.
I don't know. I might disagree with that thought, although obviously you were right with the execution. But at first I was thinking, okay, an outsider tale, like Tim Burton, he can do outsiders. True. Like Edward Scissorhands, Ed Wood. I mean, like, he can do that, and he can find the... There are darker, grittier elements and whatever, but like, man, this was just a CGI fest with like zero emotion. And it's like you take Tim Burton and I feel like you could take his whole library and just put it in half, you know, and you have like all the good stuff and all the stuff where
we
it feels
talked about
like,
this in the Ed Wood.
Oh, really?
Episode.
Which I didn't even listen to.
I think Brad Gullickson and Aaron Prescott, who were on that episode with me, they're fantastic. They do the Rest in Pictures podcast. Everyone should check that out. They were saying everything pre-Mars Attacks. And I think they both agreed Mars Attacks was his last good movie.
One.
I haven't seen it either.
Check it out, though.
Everything that was made after, almost everything, is pretty much like super divisive. I think there's some exceptions, like people seem to like Big Fish a lot, though some people really don't like it.
I really liked Big Fish.
I did too. But what's depressing, especially after watching Ed Wood, which I think is probably considered by many to be Burton's best movie, and it's personally my favorite that I've seen. There are things about Dumbo that fit his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. The outsider stuff, the circus angle, circus, did I even say the right word? This
Andy's
movie has drained me
angle.
It's drained me of all
speech
of anything. But the circus element, the idea of this family rallying around each other, they don't have anywhere to go, so they band together, this freaky family. That's an element that's in a lot of his movies. And you see him trying to introduce it here, and it doesn't work. Mm-mm. At all, because we do not know the other characters. They're all just kind of there. And his attempt to, the story attempt to make Colin Farrell, who's like a dad back from the war, who's lost an arm for no reason, as far as I can tell. Thematically, it's supposed to be like he feels like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not as good as the kid's mother who passed away. I'm never going to be whole like I was. All of that stuff is awful.
Well, there was a huge departure from the original Dumbo where all the focus is on the animals. And then I feel like we got 20% of the focus on the animals in this film. And 80% of the focus was on people I could not give a crap about. And, you know, that was my biggest problem. Like, yes, take leaps, rework the story. I don't need a beat for beat. Like, I'm completely flexible with you changing things around, but you have to keep the magic alive. And there was no magic for me.
No, not at all.
Nothing.
I guess I appreciate in some ways that it wasn't a straight remake. Because a lot of my problem with these live action Disney movies is they're the exact same freaking movie.
I agree. Yeah.
The Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast. What else has come out? All of them. They're all the same movie, and it's an easy buck for Disney. They literally are like, oh, look at this. We can actually just release the same movie in live action, and not even. Like, Jungle Book was basically an animated movie. The Lion King that's coming out is an animated movie. It's the same. So you're paying to see the same thing twice. And, I mean, they're making billions of dollars, so why not? More power to them. They've found a formula, and they've realized they can sell
the
same
movie. And
Aladdin
looks like it'll
Aladdin
be
Aladdin has all the same music. It's just like, there's something wrong about that to me. Like, it feels so wrong to literally just release the same movie. I give credit, like we talked about, to Cinderella, Kenneth Branagh, and that was a real cool, the same story, but some new elements, and not, I don't think they recycled all the same songs. I think they tried some new stuff. But, like, the Jungle Book used all the same music. Beauty and the Beast used all the same music. So I will give Dumbo a smidgen of credit in that it is not a straight remake. It's not beat for beat. It does try to do something different. And it doesn't just try to milk that. Like, it isn't just a straight beat for beat, as lazy as possible. So kudos to them for trying that. But the things they try don't work. And it's an interesting, I'm glad we're comparing the two, because what's fascinating about it is, on the one hand, the original Dumbo, 1941, I wanted more from it. I wanted to engage with it more. And I was like, I need a little bit more of a story and a little bit more of a character arc. I don't know what I need, but I just need to feel like there's a story being told here. And it felt very disjointed to me. And it felt short. Like, I was like, at the end of it, I was like, God, that feels like barely a movie. Like, I want more. And on the flip side, this new Dumbo is too much, and it made me appreciate how streamlined the storytelling was, how economical Disney and the creative team were with the animated movie. It's simple, it does what it needs to do, and it's done.
Yeah.
Tim Burton's movie, it introduces about 50 different storylines. It's like there are these stupid kids who come in and like look so up. Like, they seem so miserable to be in this movie. The girl in particular seems so miserable.
Can we pause and talk about her?
Yeah.
Because
please.
The whole movie, I couldn't tell if that was the direction she was taking of being like, I will not smile.
I'm dead inside.
Dead inside. Yeah, like shark eyes. Like, I couldn't figure out and I get that she's being portrayed as someone that is scientific, but she's still a child.
Yeah.
Like, no joy. I just couldn't figure her character out.
I guess I should say we're in spoiler territory. I just realized I didn't spoil. I hope this doesn't spoil the Tim Burton's Dumbo for you, everybody. So sorry. There's this whole subplot of like, she doesn't want to be in the circus. That is so undercooked.
Yeah. It's undercooked and yet mentioned 100 times in 15 minutes.
She, at the beginning, she's like, I don't want to be a circus. I want to be a scientist. And her dad's like, just do what I tell you to do. Like, it's basically like, you can't be a scientist. You're a woman.
Yeah.
That's not what he says explicitly, but it's like, that's almost the undercurrent. But it's basically like, oh, just fit in and do what we tell you to do. And it's like, no, she wants to. But then she kind of doesn't do anything the whole movie to prove herself. And then arbitrarily near the end, she's like, Dad, come look at the science fair. And he's like, oh, you are special. And I'm like, wait, what? He showed
her. Well, doesn't she doesn't she help when what's her name? Eva Green? I can't remember who.
Yeah, Colette? I don't know. Colette, I don't know maybe? Any of their characters' names. I don't care. I don't care.
Well, when they're trying to train together for the act for the new circus. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're jumping way ahead. Sorry.
That's okay.
But I think she says something about how she's like, I have a scientific formula to make this work. And yeah. I think that was the contribution. I yeah. caught it.
God, you did better than I did. Maybe I left it. I'm so happy I had to use the restroom during this movie. It's like the worst thing you could say about any movie.
I think I checked my Fitbit watch like
a lot.
40 times.
We were kind of, I was checking with you.
It just felt so long and I really wanted to like it.
Yeah.
And I could not.
Like the elephant, like Dumbo is adorable. The animation is great. It's just the attempt to bulk it up with all these meaningless storylines and characters yeah. bogs the movie down so much. And it's interesting because it's the argument against what I'm saying. I was like, I want more. I need more of a story.
Well, you
and
got
I
more.
I got it. And I was like, wait, no. I wonder what the story angle is to tell with this kind of thing. It's an interesting idea to take the because Dumbo, the remake, the first half is basically a revised version of the original film. And the second half is like a sequel in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, because he flies at 45 minutes in. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like we have an hour and change to go. Like, where are we going with this?
Yes.
So it definitely was a big departure, which is fine. But then, like you said, it was like a second chapter. And then you get this whole other circus.
Yeah, they go to Michael. Something Michael Keaton lands. Has like an even bigger circus that he's like, yes, come and join me. And yeah. then they don't.
He's like the Ringling Brothers.
Yeah, they don't use a net. Like, it's like a big deal. Like, Eva Green, they're like, we won't use a net because he's evil, I guess. And they're like, why are you using a safety net? And she almost dies. And I this stuff is so ridiculous. And it was so. I don't understand. Sometimes I'm watching a movie and I'm like, how is this so uninteresting? I'm really trying to understand in my head, because trying to break down the movie that's not good is so much more enjoyable than actually watching the movie. And I try, and I was just trying to put all the elements together, and I guess it's part of it is the performances. Everyone seems miserable to be there except for Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito, who are like just wonderful in almost everything.
And he was basically playing Frank.
Yes.
But which, like obviously a family
fair,
friendly version.
Yeah,
if
to be
one
fair,
could ever
Danny
exist.
DeVito plays Frank in
yeah.
a lot.
Sorry, Frank of Always Sunny, if people yes. don't know what we're talking about.
Yes.
And if you don't, go fix that.
Yes,
now.
Go watch It's Always Sunny instead of seeing this movie. But I was just trying to put together the pieces, and I think it's because of the fact that the story at its heart, at its core, is about Dumbo getting back with his mother. And this movie keeps throwing things into it that just distract from that so much.
Yeah.
It's the same problem as I think the original has, but the original tries to like, no, but here, we want to show you this colorful, fun sequence. Whereas this movie is just like, we want to introduce a storyline about these children who need a mother and their father isn't living up to their expectations. But then it doesn't really do anything with those storylines. So they kind of fade in and out of the background. They struggle to meld their new story with the Dumbo story. And it yeah. never gels. It
I
never
always
works.
Wish it was just like they didn't take anything from the original. And they just, yeah. Other than the fact that there is a... Like, the only two elements you need is flying elephant separated from mom. And just, like, only take that and cut everything else out.
Because that's
and just
the thing.
See...
There's an interesting angle there. Like, these yeah. two kids, you have two kids whose mother passed away. They can really empathize with Dumbo. And for
Absolutely.
Some reason, they don't
no,
really...
Why
they don't embrace
hold in on
that angle.
No.
No,
not
they
at
kind
all.
Of mention a little bit. Like, they're like, yeah, I miss my mom, too. It's just like, what? That's
yeah.
it. But that to me feels like the angle to connect the dots with Dumbo. And then yeah. they're like, Dumbo can fly. And if we can get more money by Dumbo flying, then he'll see his mom again. And it's a weird, like, awkward way
we
to connect.
We told
theirs.
Dumbo
right.
it's that we would buy his mom.
Yes.
It's, like,
it's a really awkward way to be like, here's why Dumbo does it. And there are so many, like, explanations in this movie. Like, when they change his name to Dumbo, which, first of all, was so stupid. Because there's a sign that says Jumbo and it flips, a D flips over and turns it into Dumbo. And some guy in the audience goes, hey, look, everyone, it says Dumbo instead of Jumbo. And everyone in the audience goes, ah, Dumbo, what a Dumbo. and it's terrible. But I just kept thinking, like, the kids later on, they're like, why are you, don't, you shouldn't call him Dumbo. And he goes, well, I'm afraid if I don't call him Dumbo, I'll call him Jumbo and it'll make him miss his mom because her name's Mrs. Jumbo. And it was like, I really didn't need an explanation as to why or a justification.
There's some weird over explaining that happened in this movie very frequently.
Yeah.
Which you didn't even need it to be explained, let alone over explained.
No, this movie over explains things that didn't need to be explained. And the original Dumbo under explains things that I wish it could have gone a little bit into.
And I kind of miss Timothy.
Yeah, they have a little homage to Timothy. Like, he's just like, here's a little rat dressed up as Timothy.
I get that the family is, they took the place of Timothy, obviously, and then also stepped in as being his surrogate family. But even Holt didn't really bond.
Which one's Holt?
Colin.
Colin Farrell, okay.
Yeah, he didn't really bond with Dumbo at all.
Again, his character is completely, it would have been better to just have the kids be orphans at the circus. Like, when you
kill
think about
all.
It. Well, think about
it's the Disney way.
Yeah. Oh, like, let's do, like, they're orphans. They understand what it's like not to have parents. So they relate and empathize with Dumbo and they want to help him. They've been with the circus for so long and they've been overlooked and nobody pays attention to them. They find Dumbo and they want to help him, but also they see an opportunity for them to finally get their chance to shine in the circus. You see, that easy to make it a little bit more relatable. You have characters whose storylines are aligning with each other and makes it a little bit more engaging.
You should doctor the script and send it back.
But it's just, well, it's depressing in every sense because the remake, all these remakes are so unnecessary. But I appreciate when they try to take some risks. And Dumbo does try to take some risks, but it's also, at the end of the day, a very bland and lifeless version of the same movie. That's depressing in and of itself. What's more depressing is Tim Burton's career. What is happening? I've been very outspoken about my, like, oh, I don't like Tim Burton movies. But to be completely fair, the ones that I've seen from his heyday, Beetlejuice, and Ed Wood, I adore.
Yeah.
I adore those movies. I don't like the Batman movies. Go ahead and come at me. I will totally.
And you need to see Edward Scissorhands.
I still need to see that.
Because I really love
but
that one.
Tim Burton is such a wonderful creative force. And I loved Ed Wood is so much about, like, these outsiders. The whole movie, what I love about that movie is they never once fit in. Like, they never once get their reward. They have personal victories that to them feel really big, but to the outside it's very like, you guys are celebrating making the worst movie ever made.
Yeah.
And it, but it's like this really beautiful, like, celebration of being different. And Tim Burton thrives at that. And to watch him get kind of gobbled up in this corporate machine that is Disney and to make a movie so lacking in identity or in emotion or true feeling or anything that feels remotely the vision of a unique filmmaker is so sad. And
I'd love to see him do just a little indie film.
It would be nice because he's been doing, like, Dark Shadows,
Miss Peregrine's
and
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Which I hear mixed things about from friends.
I didn't dislike it, but it at least had his kind of manic energy to it. Whether or not you liked the movie, it was, like, at least kind of zany and crazy. But he has even, like, overtly stylized Tim Burton, which annoys the crap out of me. Is at least something. Like, Dumbo doesn't even have that. It's like, well, he reined in everything at the expense of this movie feeling like anything.
This could have been anyone that directed this.
That's
film.
What makes me so, like, it's
there,
like,
I didn't feel like there were any trademarks of Tim Burton, good or bad.
I think,
like,
that was,
it just wasn't him at all.
That was maybe Disney's selling point, because the movie is so crappy that they were just like, if we just put, like, a,
I mean, it was darker for sure, but I don't know if I can just accredit that to Tim Burton.
And even like they have the pink elephant seat, like, they homage the movie. And
I think
in the
I talked to you
ways.
During that. I was like, what? Why'd they even go there to give me bubbles? Like, this, okay, the drunk elephant scene, the old Tim Burton would have had a field day with that. Like, reimagining that, not just doing bubbles, pink bubbles.
Yeah, it's the same.
It was so underimagined.
But even that, it's the same thing. It's like, again, the same thing. Why include it at all? Other than it's like, it just reminds us of the thing that is better.
You miss.
Yeah, I hate that. And why include it? Why did Tim Burton direct this movie? I don't know. The movie never gives us a clear answer. The money. Yeah, that's got to be it. But it's so sad. Everything about Dumbo, the remake, is so sad. And it's also a really great example of why economical, even if it's an hour short and even if I wanted more, watching the new Dumbo made me appreciate the old one a little more. Like, just like sitting there, I was like, God, the original Dumbo really, like, it did this real well. It did it kind of raised my opinion. So at least it did that. At least there was some value there.
It has served its purpose.
God.
Like, at least I went into this knowing I love the original Dumbo. I have emotional ties to this. I'm always going to love it. I can't wait to show, like, our future kids this. Like, it's important to me. This movie, whether it was great or terrible, never was going to impact how I felt. Right. So for me, it's just like, whatever.
It's just an unfortunate way to spend 2 hours.
Yeah.
So by no means should you see this movie. We've already spoiled it for you. So, you know, don't go.
I'm trying to think of something because I'm not a fan of it. For me, it's just not for me. That's what I'm going to say. I'm not saying it's bad. I refuse. Yeah. I just am going to say it's not my cup of tea.
I'll say it's bad.
Maybe
I'll go
it's
out,
yours,
yeah,
listeners.
I'll say it's bad. It's go watch the original. It's about as bland a remake as can be. Like, it's just so sad. I was so bored. I wanted just everything. I just wanted to be out in the sun to feel something again. Like, it was just very, very miserable. But unfortunate. And I would like to see Tim Burton have a comeback at some point.
100%.
But it's starting to look less and less likely with every movie he makes.
I don't know. Do you know what he has in the pipeline?
No.
Okay.
But anyway,
we'll send him some ideas.
It was interesting. So I guess, what do we want to do? Pink elephants? Let's do it on a scale of 1 to 5 pink elephants. How many would you give the original Dumbo and how many would you give the new Tim Burton Dumbo?
Okay, so originally, excuse me. Original, I am gonna go with 4.
Okay.
But 3 of those are for the movie and 1 plus 1 for just the fact that I'm emotionally tethered to this film.
Okay.
And like 1.5
for
pink elephants. No, they're not. They're bubbles. I'm gonna give 1.5 pink bubbles.
I'll give 3 for the original,
okay,
and 1 for the new one.
Okay.
But I'm Fair. Glad I watched it. I'm waiting for there are a lot of Disney movies that are frames that are missing for me, and I'm hoping to find one that I can really connect to.
I think we should do Edward Scissorhands one day.
Oh, that would be a good Tim Burton one.
Yeah.
Maybe Bambi? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know if I can.
Yeah, I hear that one's tough.
I cry a lot in that film.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed us not enjoying Tim Burton's Dumbo. If you like what you're listening to, feel free to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It helps us out tremendously. I'm also on Twitter at @YayShondorman if you want to come and slap me digitally for not loving adorable cute elephants. Feel free to. And Sarah, where can you be found on the Twitter?
With Love Alone.
Yay. And thank you again. Be sure to check out thenerdparty.com. That's what Missing Frames is a part of. This amazing network. So many different podcasts. Star Trek, writing, Star Wars, movies, TV, every possible thing you could ever want out of life. It's there. Nerdparty.com. You can also follow us at Join Nerd Party and like Facebook, The Nerd Party. Just do it. And thank you again. Thank you, Sarah, for taking me through this wonderful journey.
Anytime.
And we will see you next time.